Okay, I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Today is Thursday, the 25th of May. We only have three of our usual five people today. And so we had intended to vote on some bills, but given that we could only be three of us today, we have deferred those that were originally scheduled to be voted on today, postpone that to next week. So we actually only have one bill that we're hearing today, but what a bill it is, right? Yes, it's yet another land use bill.
Oh, we do. We have all three meetings next week before the deadline.
No, we have two because nobody's here Monday.
Forgot about Monday. Yep.
So, but we will have enough time to get through our stuff. So with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3245A. Beth, can you tell us what this does? And while she's doing that, if Lori Dreamer and Chris, is it Crane?
Crane.
Could come up. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3245A would permit a city to authorize a planning commission or hearings officer to make decisions to amend the city's comprehensive plan map subject to certain restrictions. The measure allows for an aggrieved party to appeal such decisions to the city governing body. Minimal fiscal impact, no revenue impact.
Okay. Mayor, are you going to start?
Councillor. Crane is going to start.
They want me to do the detail, apparently, and then Lori will deliver the message. Sorry, Mayor DeRemer. Thank you, Senator Dembrough, members of the committee. I don't know if any – I've been around here for a long time. I don't know if anyone remembers me except maybe Senator Prozanski, who was in the House, I think, when I was at Legislative Council.
It's been a few years. Welcome back.
Thank you. The bill comes to you because of a recent LUPA decision. And just very briefly, I don't know how much.
Chris, can you give us your name?
I'm sorry. Thank you. Chris Crane, city attorney for the city of Happy Valley. The city of Happy Valley has a code provision that says any zone change smaller than 20 acres can be made, a decision on that can be made by the Planning Commission. Now, keep in mind, Happy Valley is doing a lot of zone changes these days. And there was one less than 5 acres that became controversial. It went up to LUBA, and in the process of deciding on the merits, LUBA also said, oh, yeah, there's this statute over here that says every comp plan amendment has to be approved by the city council. Well, unique among cities, as far as I can tell, in Oregon, Happy Valley has one map that's both its comprehensive plan map and the zoning map. Right? Most cities have the map, the comp plan map. It'll have a big yellow blob that says residential, and then you've got your zoning map that says high density, medium density, low density, and you can do your zone changes without affecting your comp plan map. Not in Happy Valley. Every one of these zone changes that we're doing these days, a lot of them, frankly, because now of Damascus, the city formerly known as Damascus, we're annexing a lot of properties, having to upzone them. They all now have to go to the city council, regardless of how big they are, regardless of whether they're controversial or not. So with two hearings now and all the costs associated with that, because you need updated staff reports, you have to staff these hearings, and 98% of them are not controversial. And so it's just clogging the calendar and incurring costs for no good reason. So we brought you this bill. It's modeled on a very similar statute that was enacted for counties in 1987 with no fanfare or apparent controversy. So we're trying to get back to the place where we can have the Planning Commission make these sort of low-level decisions, cut away some of the kudzu of the sort of bureaucracy of the planning program, if you will, and allow small decisions, low-level decisions, to be made where they should be made at the Planning Commission. So there's a lot more weeds we could dive into if you wish. The firm that I work with that represents Happy Valley, we represent 15 or so cities and special districts directly, and then special counsel for dozens more. So I can tell you this is a fairly unique problem for Happy Valley. Doesn't affect most other cities because they have their own zoning map. So this is something that's important to the city of Happy Valley. It makes the planning program a lot more sensible there. And with that, I'll turn it over to the mayor.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, Senator Dembrough and members of the committee. I'm Lori Dreamer, the mayor of Happy Valley, and I appreciate the time today, knowing that it's a small agenda. So, again, thank you for showing up just for this one item. And as Councillor Crane said, I don't need to go into the details, as you said, because land use is, as you mentioned right when we came up here, it's another land use bill, and it's very stressful for when people are making decisions on land use. I find that to be true as the mayor and the council. And so I often think that a process, and sometimes a lengthy one, is good for all sides, not rushing things. But when it comes to efficiency and planned development, which is what the Happy Valley has been focused on doing over the last 10 years as we've grown from 4,000 to almost 20,000 people, that's been through planned growth, annexation. And again, as Councilor Crane said, with Damascus now in our urban growth boundary, we've annexed almost 1,000 acres just in the last 6 months, and we're expected to annex quite a few more 1,000 acres. And so with that efficiency and planned development, I look for ways to, one, save money, save time, without doing an end run around the process. So that isn't why I'm here. I'm not here to say, hey, let's just try to get this done and not the process be in place. But what's unique enough, I think, to Happy Valley, and I think you're going to hear from the City of Salem as well, because we've worked on this together, this gets us a step closer to being more efficient in the entire region when we're talking about land use. It's specific enough that it's not going to impose anything unnecessary on the entire state of Oregon. So I hope that when you do look at a land use issue, you really are looking at just Happy Valley and Salem having some same issues, that it's very specific. So while it can get mired down in how we want to please everybody, and I know that we look at both sides, I work with Metro, I work with Thousand Friends, I work with all of them on any land use, and I take their sides very seriously. But this is something I think it can just save time and money. 30, 45 days, and we're hearing this, and we're hearing them very often. Now we're going to continue to do so over the next, 5 to 10 years, and as we grow, I think this is something that just a fix that can be done and help us all. So I really don't need to get into all the other details. I'm here with any questions. I'm not sure. I know there's been some amendments possibly proposed, which we just got today. So I can't speak to those. I'm speaking to the original bill. And if it comes back, I'd like to make sure I have more time to look at that and can we do that. But as it sits, I think it can be efficient for the City of Happy Valley. So I thank you for your time and listening to us.
Thanks, Mayor. Yeah, thanks for coming. Yeah, our challenge, of course, is to make sure that there aren't unintended consequences, and that's why we have this process.
Yeah.
Has the city ever considered separating the two?
Yeah. Well, I think which is the bigger problem to tackle.
Right.
Separating the maps, I think, can be probably could be done. I'm just not sure how efficiently that could be done in order to get what we need to do today.
Yeah, separating them out would be a large land use task with the goal compliance issues and urbanization goals and all of that. And frankly, the city staff is buried right now with annexation applications, zone change applications, and everything else. So there's also the resource question of being able to find the staff and the time to do that project, which would take several years. I would love that result, but the process of getting there is going to be complicated.
Okay, thanks. Senator,
either way. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Chris, regarding this issue and knowing that your firm represents multiple mm-hmm. cities and special districts, but really for the cities on this question, is there another city that has a similar problem where the maps are in one versus being separated out? Because this does seem like somewhat of a one-off. I understand with Damascus demise and all that, there's additional stuff that was not ever intended. Not that you wouldn't be incorporating that those areas into the city at some point, but it seems like maybe there's been a push because of that.
It's really put a sharp point on the issue for us because of the volume we're dealing with now. The volume would have been less without Damascus, but it would still be there. We're still trying to make sure that the system is as efficient as possible. I'm not aware of another city in the state that has a single, what they call it, a combined map, combined comp plan zone map. I believe Jackson County does because of a case I was involved in some years ago. But again, there's a statute the legislature adopted in 1987 that gives them the authority we're asking for with this bill. So it's not a problem for counties, even if they have a combined map. It's only a problem for cities with a combined map, and that's just us.
Okay. So I was going to follow up with another question, mm-hmm. Mr. Chair. But, Chris, so I'm sorry I didn't track maybe your testimony as closely as I should, but it sounds like you're saying at this point the counties already have the ability to do this?
That's correct, and I believe it's RS 215.431.
Okay. Because the other question I was going to ask is, knowing that you have this onslaught demand for this service and needs with limited staff, how many years would it be before you think you would be back in a position that maybe this wouldn't be quite the problem, but that may not be the fix?
Well, I would contend that based on the regional planning with Metro and Clackamas County, being in support of Happy Valley is going to be the, you know, we are the authority to urbanize that Damascus area, which, you know, for East County and Clackamas County and the entire region, they're expecting us. I mean, we solved this problem last year by saying, okay, now, but then this came up. So now it's just one more issue. And can we solve the entire issue by being so specific? And I think we can. And I don't know. I think what happens when you get that unintended consequence or the pushback, it's when you look at it up here and say, well, we got to be careful about what we're doing. This is so specific that I think even with Thousand Friends and even with them, if we can explain that issue, it's very specific to Happy Valley and it benefits everybody in the region. It is not to do an end run around the process because I am a process mayor. I think it's important. Land use is very emotional. It's very important, and I want to make sure that we answer all issues. So I think this is just more of a procedural fix in order to save time and money for everybody.
Senator Prezansky, if I may, it would be years, I believe. And two things. One, the region really needs Happy Valley to succeed. In 2004, Metro expanded the urban growth boundary in that portion of the region to avoid expanding it in Washington County where the good farmland is. If we can't develop that portion of the Metro region, it maintains the pressure on Washington County, and we'd like to avoid expanding UGP out there. So we need Happy Valley to succeed. The plan at this point is that Happy Valley will approach almost 50,000 people by 2040. We're at 18,000 now. So we're looking at substantial growth over an extended period. This is one small way that we can hopefully make sure that our plans, our zoning, our land use program that we'll have to accommodate all that is as efficient as we can make it.
Thank you.
Senator Rubin?
Yeah, mine were just little comments that this bill would make you not have to change your name.
That's right, Happy. Happy in Happy Valley.
Okay.
Well, we're anxious to continue the work. I mean, it certainly is not a complaint to stop the work.
And was there a reason when you originally set up that you put the two plans together? Do we know?
I mean, you've been around longer than I don't know why they did not separate out and create a separate zoning map back in the 80s, yeah. 1980s probably.
Yeah, probably, right? Incorporated in 65, but I'm not sure when those came in. I have been on the council since 2004, and I'm not just being a bedroom community. It's not the things that you think about until you have this expansive growth at a trajectory that's almost difficult to keep up with when the region's counting on you to. And we had this discussion actually in the urban growth with Metro. I sat on that board with Thousand Friends and the home builders and everybody to come to the agreement about how do we expand or not expand. Taking the portion of Damascus out of the urban growth boundary is not a consideration for the region.
No, I agree.
So since we're going to be responsible for that growth, we're just trying to be as efficient as possible.
And I have to say that the conversations we had over the last number of sessions over Damascus were painful. And the reality is it needed to be urbanized in that area, and Damascus couldn't figure out how to do that,
right,
which made it really difficult,
right,
for all of us. So I'm hopeful that if we do this, that it doesn't do the wrong thing. I mean, I would love it to make that easily happen.
Senator Roblin, I can tell you after serving in Ledge Council for 6 years and four sessions, I recognize the rule of unintended consequences. I drafted a lot of them. I'm pretty cautious. Again, this is based on an existing statute that's been on the books for 30 years now with the counties. I'm pretty confident that any unintended consequences will be minimal, if there are any at all.
And I did want to comment on the fact that you used kudzu and weeds in the same conversation. Was pretty impressive, though a lot of us out here don't have to deal with kudzu, but it was a well use of good use of words and weeds.
Thank you. You know what kudzu is then.
I do.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you both.
Thank you.
We have a couple more panels where we'll, I think, hear about potential amendments to this. So let's have these three. Mm-hmm. Tess Milo, Dan Atchison, and Aaron Doyle.
Tess Milio. If while they're getting situated, I'm looking at what are listed as amendments. I see dash one and dash two, but they were back in March and April.
No, you're...
Yeah,
You got to stay with it. This is in process. That was then. This is now.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at what's
up. They haven't been finished yet.
Oh, they haven't been posted is what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. These are potential.
These are concepts. Let me put my concept glasses on.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you.
Now we're really getting into land use.
Yes.
Chair Denbrough, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tess Milio, here today on behalf of the City of Salem in support of House Bill 3245A. The amendments are not drafted at this point, that we will be speaking about. I'm going to let Dan Atchison, who's the city attorney, really talk about those. I just want to come here and say thank you for your consideration on this bill. And I want to thank all the sponsors of the bill who have been really helpful, and everyone else who's been working with us, League of Oregon Cities, Happy Valley, Home Builders, Thousand Friends, who's continued to have a lot of conversations with us throughout this process. We're hoping to find, you know, a solution. We came with this bill because we wanted to get the same authority that counties had had. We thought we were able to do this until the Luba case that Chris talked about, and unfortunately that kind of made us change our process. And so we wanted to come here when we found out that we didn't have the statutory authority, and try to get that while we're here. So we would like that. That's our ideal. But we understand that there were concerns about appeal fees that have been brought up, and so we are, you know, talking with Thousand Friends and others who have the concerns to see if we can reach an agreement that works for everyone. And I'm going to let Dan talk about the bill and the specifics of that.
Chair Denbrough, members of the committee, Dan Atchison, Salem City Attorney. Thank you for hearing us today. So as the former panel spoke about, and the City of Salem and as Tess spoke about, this really isn't about a unified zoning map, comp plan map. We don't have a unified map. We have a separate maps for each one. So what's unique is that only Happy Valley and City of Salem do it this way, but it would be something that would help other jurisdictions if they were so inclined. But basically, we just want the authority to allow our Planning Commission to hear these small quasi-judicial 2 or 3 acre comp plan map amendments without having to go to council and have a second hearing and extending the process out. So right now, according to the Happy Valley decision, not only does council have to make that final decision, but they have to do it by ordinance. For us, an ordinance takes a first and second reading. It's also doesn't take effect for 30 days, so that adds, you know, 30 to 60 days onto the process. We don't do a whole lot of these. We may have 5 or 10 or 15 over the course of the year, but they're usually combined with a site plan approval, a conditional use permit, a variance, something like that, when someone's redeveloping their property from a low density to high density or vice versa. They want to put apartments in. There's several approvals they need. All those are, you know, very technical sort of approvals. It's better for our Planning Commission to hear those things. They're the ones who have the expertise in the land use matters, and they can deal with these small property-specific issues. While the comp plan map itself obviously is a legislative document, the process and the issues that come up in these sorts of applications are very fact-specific with the particular property. So we feel the Planning Commission is just a better forum to hear these sorts of issues. So the original legislation, as Mr. Crean spoke to, is basically analog to what's in the county right now, what the ORS 215 allows. We've had discussions with Thousand Friends of Oregon as well as some other folks. They have concerns about appeal fees, because if the Planning Commission makes the final decision on this, they would have to appeal to go to council. So we were working with legislative council on some ways to get around that, to make that work for them. At this point, we obviously prefer our original legislation. It's the same as what the counties have, but we are content and supportive of the amendments that you're going to be seeing soon on this. That would basically allow city councils, it would still require the city council to make that final decision, but it would allow them to do it by an order instead of by ordinance. That just cuts the time down, because ordinances take longer to get through our system, plus there's a delayed effective date. And I appreciate your time, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Denbrough, members of the committee. Erin Doyle here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. I'm here in support of the base bill, and I'm reviewing as Happy Valley as the concept of the amendment, but mostly I will support what my city support. That's literally my job. What I would say is what's important in this discussion to me is that this is it's kind of parity with the counties, but it's actually more limited than the authority that the counties have themselves. The base bill, as it stands right now, only allows this delegation of authority for an amendment of the comprehensive plan map, not the entire comprehensive plan. I think that's very important. Comprehensive planning should be done by the elected officials and not just the Planning Commission. But the map amendments are not changing the overall intention of the comprehensive plan. So this allowing this for these couple of cities, and Salem and Happy Valley are the only ones that the league is aware of that have any sort of process where they used to do this, where their Planning Commission at the time of making a zoning map amendment would also amend their comprehensive map, either because they were one and the same in Happy Valley's case or because it matched their process and their needs for the city of Salem. So the increase in efficiency that comes with their decisions for their particular cities, I think they made that decision at the local level, knowing what their needs were, how their processes work. And at this point, I'm not even aware of a city that even hearing about this bill is like, ooh, that sounds interesting. So I think it's, while this will have a potential statewide impact, I think right now, even at this point, only Salem and Happy Valley are looking to get back to the process they used to have before LUBA, and no one is looking to adopt this at this point in time. And the final point I would like to make is this bill being about efficiency, this bill about being cutting down on the amount of time it takes for process, there are conversations going on related particularly to housing about how long the process takes, having a significant impact on the success of development projects, especially in the realm of affordable housing. I'm sure you all have been paying attention to those conversations, and one of the things they say is the longer it takes, the more money you're out without getting anything done. So any shortening of that time period that it's going to take to get to a final decision where building can start to occur has the advantage of holding down those carrying costs that a housing developer might have. And for those reasons, we support House Bill 3245A, and we'll look at the amendments to ensure that they're what we need and move forward from there. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So, Tess, the amendment request was put in yesterday, is that right?
Well, actually, we are going to put it in today.
Okay.
So, yes.
Right. So we have this scheduled for a work session a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
That should be timely, depending on mm-hmm. how complicated the amendment is. It sounds like it's not that. Yeah.
It's a few lines. It shouldn't, hopefully. Isn't that hard to write up? We'll see.
Right.
But you got the paperwork that should go
yeah.
with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no Monday.
Sooner better.
Yes, Senator Brzezinski.
So I guess want to put on the record, based on what I've heard, is that this only allows for the change to be done to the comprehensive plan map. So that, I'm taking, means that if there's a discrepancy between the comprehensive plan or the comprehensive and the comprehensive map, that the plan controls. What is the authority? I mean, if something is different in the plan versus what's on the map, what is the prior, what leads?
Senator Brzezinski, well, the comprehensive plan is contains the policies and goals as well as the map, and so
right.
Changing the designation for 4 or 5 acres of property, those policies are going to shift with the new designation. So I don't think there's going to be a conflict there. You know, to the extent that, you know, taking a swath of property out, say one property is residential and you're taking a 4-acre piece and turning it into commercial, when you go through that plan change process, that map change process, you're looking at that as one of the factors, whether that mitigates for or against the map change.
Right. I'm assuming when I asked that question that the controlling document is the plan itself.
That's correct.
And what I'm saying, what I'm hearing without knowing, is that the map itself is included within the plan?
That's correct. It's part and parcel. And when we go through these map changes, part of the compliance not only with the statewide planning goals, but it's also going through the goals and policies of the plan itself and making sure that that change is consistent with those.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Roger.
I have Aaron here so I can ask her the question. So are you guys okay with the new metropolitan area of Happy Valley swallowing up what was the city of Damascus?
Chair Denver, Senator Roblin, Damascus was probably more difficult for me than it was for you. But I will. I believe that at the time we were discussing the Damascus issue, our big concern was the impact on the surrounding communities, as well as what was happening with that at the time incorporated government. And it put the league, of course, in a very difficult, because we would love to have 242 members still, but we now have 241. But we did want to protect and provide the opportunity for the surrounding metropolitan areas to take on that development, to get that level of development done. So that way we wouldn't have to also then get involved in further metro, urban, and rural reserves conversations about what should happen with Damascus. So I think that Happy Valley has done a lot of work to be prepared to accept these areas and get the development that we need in the metro area. And, I mean, it's potential for Gresham as well.
Yes.
Yeah, my only concern is that this was the first attempt to start a new city in Oregon since all the land use happened. And it didn't work. Do we still think there's ways for cities to get formed if needed in other parts of the state? I'm just worried about the process now. And if because of what happened, it's going to make it difficult or more difficult to have that conversation again.
Chair Dimbrough, Senator Roblin, there are okay. two other cities, Kaiser and Lapine, I believe, or Prineville. Lapine. I'm in trouble now.
They were kind of areas, but they weren't.
There were different kind of areas. You know, Kaiser obviously came online because of its, you know, the heavily developed area. We've talked about this in annexation conversations. And Lapine just had finally come together. I do think the process of incorporation is quite challenging. We have a guide to incorporation that we've discussed previously. It does take a lot of consideration of the financial resources and the governance that you want to have. And I think having those well thought out conversations prior to incorporation make a lot of sense. We have had a couple of regions that are pretty urban, non-incorporated areas come to us to ask about the potential for incorporation. Okay. So where there's interest, there is a way. It may be if we see another area that just says this is too hard to accomplish, that there's room for that conversation. But I will say with Damascus, they had a very structural problem within that area of who they wanted to be when they were finalized with their comprehensive plan. There were two very divergent voices, I think, and that made it very difficult. So if the community has really come together, I think it can be accomplished. And the issue there is that they were required to have their comprehensive plan accomplished in 6 years. I think that 6 years deadline might be too difficult, but dispensation has been given for both Kaiser and Lapine as they finalized to get their plan acknowledged by LCDC because they were mostly there. But Damascus was in a very different position after 10 years, and that's what really, I think, made it difficult.
Okay. I appreciate that insight because I anticipate we'll probably figure out how to get into something like this again some point.
The more it's land use, and we like to.
From the past, the better it would be.
It's a continuing employment opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, all three. Okay, we have one final panel, and it has one person. Meredith?
Well.
No?
No.
I'm bringing some.
I'm bringing in the ringer.
Thank you, Chair Dimbrough, members of the committee. Meredith Shield, representing Thousand Friends of Oregon. Mary Kyle sadly couldn't be here today, so I will speak less on the policy but more of the appreciation for the City of Salem to engage with us and let us work on an amendment. And with the proposed language that we've submitted or that the city is submitting to Legislative Council, we will be able to support the bill for us and for Thousand Friends. It mostly meets the citizen involvement concerns because it allows a party to the proceeding that results in a council order approving or denying a plan amendment to seek review at LUBA. So that was kind of the big piece for us. So we are happy to be able to support the bill with that proposed change.
Thank you, Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that change costs us the support of the home builders. So, Mr. Chandler.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builder Association, au contraire, as they said in Culver. We are here to support the bill. We like the base bill. We like the Ian Gross version of the bill. Sounds like we'll like the proposed amendment as well. And I believe Mr. Crane probably went into this. I got here too late to hear his testimony. But this issue in front of you that we are fixing didn't exist in the minds of any of us who played in this sandbox until LUBA found the glitch, which happens often when some people in black robes or, in their case, business suits, find mistakes and none of us knew were mistakes. Now you come in and fix them. This is not, this is going back to where we thought the process always was. When I was contacted by this bill by the city attorney, city of Salem in the first place, I was blissfully unaware that the cities did not have this authority in the first place. There's no policy reason for them to be treated fundamentally different from the counties. I'm not trying to unwind the work that's been done to get to this point. The amendment as proposed will be fine. Just to let you folks know that this is not a huge sweeping change in Oregon land use policy. It's actually continuing. We'll allow the flow of commerce, as it were, to continue the way it was before Luba got an attack of the clubbers. Glad to take any questions.
Thank you, John. Any questions for this panel? Okay, thank you both. Anybody else who wanted to speak to this bill? Okay, so hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3245. Yes. And before we adjourn, Senator Brzozinski?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to know that you all saw another member here sitting up here at the top of the dais. And this is Jeremy Clark. Jeremy is an intern in my office today. This is his fourth visit to the Capitol this year. He's able to testify on behalf of a bill. He also was part of an advocacy group that came in on environmental issues. He paged for the Senate, and now today he's had the opportunity to be part of my office, and we've been working hard since 8 o'clock this morning. So I want to thank Jeremy again for making time in his day, and I hope that he has an opportunity to sit here in his own right when he gets a few years older. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure to have you, Jeremy. And anyone out there, if you Google Jeremy Clark or maybe impressive kid talking about climate change, you will see the excerpt of Jeremy testifying to our committee a couple of months ago. It was great. Thank you. Okay, thank you all for being here, and have a great Memorial weekend. For that, we are adjourned. And for that, we are adjourned.